Wonderful. Thank you, Mrs. Garner. Let's open our Bibles this morning, if you would, and join me in Hebrews chapter number 6. Hebrews chapter number 6 this morning, if you'll join me there. And I hope that you bring your Bible with you to church when you come, and so that you can follow along as we read through the Scriptures. Hebrews chapter number 6, and again, thank you for being here this morning. And I want God to meet with us and for Him to do His work in our hearts. Doesn't it sound good to hear Bible pages flipping? I like that. Hebrews 6, we're going to begin reading in verse 13. Would you stand with me out of love and respect for the Word of God? We're going to read verses 13 down through verse 19. If you'll follow along silently as I read aloud. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of His counsel, in other words, the unchanging content of His counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Then notice verse number 19. Which hope, whatever this hope that is set before us, which hope we have as, and here's what I want you to focus on, an anchor. An anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. Did you notice he said, whatever this hope is that he's speaking of here, he said that hope is an anchor of the soul. Now I just want to say one quick thing and then we'll pray. I'll move on. Salvation, biblical salvation, by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, plus nothing, minus nothing. When you trusted Jesus, that anchor holds your soul in place till you meet the Lord. It is your eternal security. It is, once you are saved, you are saved forever. Whatever the Lord was talking about in John 3:16, that everlasting life, it means that once you have it, it lasts forever. He said there is an anchor, a hope, that is the anchor of the soul. And I want to speak to you this morning about some anchors that hold. Some anchors that hold. Father, meet with us now in our time together. We pray that you'd open our heart, our spirit. Help us, Lord, to stay alert. Help us to stay focused on what you have for us this morning in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. You can be seated. Some time ago, I took some campaign winners just a few months ago, and we went down to Aransas Pass and boarded a boat and went out deep sea fishing. And I've told you several stories. I'll spare you the gross part of the deep sea fishing experience and go to the other part that I want to talk to you about. We tied off to an old abandoned oil rig out there offshore, and we fished there a while. And then the captain took us, and we began to weave in and out of these huge, huge ships that were anchored out in the harbor. And as we began to weave in and out of these ships, I began to look at their mammoth. I mean, we were in a pretty good-sized boat, and I mean, these things were huge. And we begin to weave in and out of these ships, and I begin to observe just how massive they were. And in each one of the ships, I noticed were a little bit different because they were carrying some cargo that was different from one or the other. And by the way, you could tell what kind of cargo they were carrying by the outside of the ship. But many of these ships, they were anchored in the harbor waiting to unload their cargo. They were anchored there waiting for the authority. I guess they call it a pilot boat. We saw one go out and get one. And A pilot boat goes out and they get them and they draw anchor and they follow this pilot boat in and for that pilot boat to lead them in so they can unload their cargo that they brought in for into the country. Now, I want to say this for just a moment. While we were waiting and watching, and I watched these ships begin to make their way in to unload their cargo, I began to think of some things that and make an analogy to our lives. I want to say, first of all, like those ships, do you know that we carry precious cargo as well? You have within you a soul that is forever. That soul that is contained in you is precious cargo, just like these ships had precious cargo. Now, I want to say this. I couldn't see the cargo that they were carrying within, but I'm telling you, I began to look. The condition of the ship gave me some kind of idea of what was on board. I could tell the difference between an oil tanker and a freight ship. And I began to watch these, and I would begin to notice that the exterior of the ship bore the marks of the sea and the wear and tear of the salt water and other elements of the sea. And though the exterior may not have been very much, I took, as I was watching and began to think about this, the cargo that they were carrying, though, was still precious. Can I ask you, do you have any wear and tear on you? Has the world beat on you a little while? Are you today bearing some of the marks of life? You say, I know, and I feel like, preacher, the world has just beat me to death. But can I remind you that you're still carrying very precious cargo? And one of these days, God's going to send that pilot ship out. And he's going to come out into the harbor, and he's going to lead you home so that you can unload the cargo, that precious cargo that you have. But I noticed that these ships carried precious cargo. I also noticed this. All the ships were different, but their cargo was still very valuable. Look around this morning. Look in this auditorium. Man, there's all kinds of different people here. From different countries, different walks of life, different temperaments, different attitudes. Oh, listen, all of us are different. But you still have very important cargo that you're carrying that, listen, one of these days God's going to call home. God's going to send the pilot ship out to find you, and he's going to lead you into the harbors of heaven if you're saved so that you can unload your burden. And there shall you ever be with the Lord. You see, it didn't matter when I looked at all these ships, it didn't matter about their differences because each ship was designed for a specific purpose. Just like God has designed your life for a specific purpose. And it's your job and my job to fulfill that purpose until the pilot ship comes out to get us and leads us home. I noticed something else about these ships. Each ship was anchored in the spot that was assigned to them. I noticed that they weren't all bunched up together. They weren't all just a few yards apart. They were all anchored at a location that was given them by the authorities on shore. Now let me say something to you this morning. What we've got to get out of the habit of doing, folks, is comparing ourselves among ourselves. You see, wouldn't it be dumb for somebody on the oil tanker to say, man, love, I wish I was one of them cargo tankers over there. I'm tired of being an oil tanker. You see, the thing about it is I noticed that all the ships were designed specifically for a purpose, to carry that specific cargo. And each one of them was anchored in the spot that they were assigned. You have a specific spot in the overall plan of God. And it's not your job or anybody else's job to fulfill that except you. You just need to drop anchor where you're supposed to be and serve God to the best of your ability till the pilot ship comes and leads you into the harbor to unload your cargo. And can I say that although these ships were anchored in place, it didn't stop the sea from beating against them? Now listen, they were anchored in place, but it didn't stop the sea from rolling in. It didn't stop the sea from the waves from pounding and pounding. Listen, some of you here this morning, you think, boy, preacher, I feel pretty anchored this morning in Jesus. But let me tell you something, the sea is still going to beat on you. The world's still going to beat on you. Just because you're anchored and safe, you're secure in Christ, doesn't mean that opposition's going to stop. Doesn't mean that adversity is going to stop coming your way. You see, sometimes we get the misnomer that just because we get saved, that all of a sudden that God saves us and puts us in a bed of roses. It doesn't work that, folks. He might put you in a bed of roses, but I found out that roses have thorns. And you know, sometimes your world is going to beat against your life. And you're going to think, man, love, I don't know if I can handle this. Listen, just depend on the anchors. They'll hold you in place. You see, just because you drop anchor at home or at church doesn't mean that the harbor completely protects you from being exposed to the elements of the world. You see, people come to church and you feel pretty safe here, don't you? You know why? Because the majority of the people here are Christians and you feel comfortable here. The thing about it is when you leave here today and you walk out those doors, can I say, the tide's rolling in. And when you go out, the sea is going to beat upon, regardless of whether you've got security in those anchors. I noticed that these ships were in place where they were supposed to be, but it didn't stop the sea. Pounding, pounding, pounding constantly. I notice also that the anchors that these ships used, they provided stability for the ship. When they dropped the anchor, you know what? The ship stayed exactly where it was. The ship stayed where it was. See, the anchors kept it in place in accord with the will of the authorities. The authorities said, this is where you're to anchor. These are the coordinates you're to anchor at. And they went out and did it, and it kept them right where they were supposed to be. You see, the anchor kept the ship from drifting off course. Can you imagine if all these ships came into the harbor and they said, oh, ain't none of us dropping anchor. We're just going to kind of float. We're just going to kind of come into the harbor. We're just going to kind of flow, roll with the flow. You know, too many people are doing that. You know what's happening? They're crashing into each other. What's happening is the current begins to take them back out to sea because they have nothing to secure them in place. There's no stability. You see, no anchors would cause the ship to drift back out to sea and follow the currents. If nobody anchored, you know what these ships would be doing? The next thing you know, darkness comes. They can't see anybody. They cut all the lights off. Next thing you know, crash, bang, boom. They're banging into each other because they have nothing to hold them in place. I also noticed that the anchors produced stillness for the ship. It kept them steady. There's a calm assurance and peace that an anchor brings. You see, there's no wavering or moving or shifting. Now, with that said, let me say this. An anchor keeps you in place. It doesn't stop the sea from banging. There is a certain amount of stillness there that keeps you in place. But I found out deep sea fishing that even though you anchor and tie off, there's still going to be some waving that comes, and it gets you sick. Psalm 46:10, listen to what God said. He said, be still and know that I'm God. You see, the thing about it is some of us, we've never taken some of these positive and strengthening anchors that we're going to look at in the Bible, and we've just kind of been drifting through life. And God said, be still, stop, be stable, keep peace, watch what you're doing. He said, and know that I am God. And then I noticed that the anchors prevented separation for the ship. See, the thing about it is if they hadn't dropped anchor, they would have drifted with the tide. They would have drifted with the current. They would have drifted off course. And then guess what? The pilot boat comes out and he's looking for you. Where are you? Oh, man, what are you doing way out there? Listen, can I tell you the Lord's coming back one day? Can I tell you the pilot boat's coming for you? Can I tell you the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come? Where's he going to find you? Is he going to find you anchored in the harbor where you're supposed to be? In the coordinates where you're supposed to be? Or is he going to find you drifted back out to sea somewhere? Is he going to find you drifted back out somewhere and you're just kind of rolling with the flow when the Lord comes? I don't think he's going to be pleased with that. You see, the anchor provides or prevented separation. It prevented separation from the authorities. It prevented separation from accomplishing its purpose. Listen, what good would a ship be if it had cargo and it came into the harbor and it didn't drop the cargo? What good would it be? You see, it's there to accomplish its purpose. You see, those anchors kept them in constant contact with the authorities. It kept them in place. It gave them assurance that at some point, the pilot boat would come, and when he comes, I'm going to be right where I'm supposed to be. That way, he's not going to have to go looking for me. That pilot boat's not going to, hey, have you seen old Brother Thompson? Yeah, I saw him. Where was he? Oh, man, he done drifted way back out there. Well, where is he? I don't know. You'll have to go out to sea to find him. Forget that. And listen, when God comes, you know where he wants you to be? He wants you to be right where you're supposed to be. Now, in order for that to happen, folks, there's going to have to be some anchors. You're going to have to drop some anchors that are going to help you to stay in place. I want to give you several of them. Take your Bible, if you would, and to turn with me to 2 Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. All right, 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. All Scripture, didn't say some Scripture, didn't say a third of the Scripture, it said all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for, does your Bible say doctrine right there? Circle that word. It says that one of the things that we're going to get that's going to keep us in place, that's going to keep us stable until the pilot boat comes out, until our name is called and it's time for us to go unload the cargo. He said that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Turn over, if you would, 2 Timothy chapter number 4. Or just look down just a few verses, I should say. The Scripture says, for the time will come when they, people, both believers and unbelievers, will not endure sound what? But after their own lust, they shall heap to themselves teachers having itch ears. He said, there's going to come a day where there will be some that will pull the anchor of doctrine up. And you know what they're going to do? They're going to drift. They're going to drift with the tide and drift with the current. Look, if you would, in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14. Look in Ephesians 4, verse 14. Ephesians 4 and verse number 14. Ephesians 4, 14. Look what it says. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, but cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to do what, church? To deceive. That means there's a right doctrine and a wrong doctrine, right? Now, here's what I want to do this morning. Doctrine is our belief system that we develop through Bible truth and fact. So the first anchor, if we're going to stay stable, if we're going to stay still, and we're going to stay in place until the pilot ship comes and takes us home to empty our cargo, we're going to have to anchor with Bible doctrine. We've got to anchor with Bible doctrine. And Bible doctrine are the truths and facts found in the Scripture. And did you notice that it's of no private interpretation? You see, doctrine is not my private interpretation or denominational influence. It's my system of beliefs that I got from the Word of God. Not because some denomination influenced me, not because some book influenced me, not because I watched some evangelist on TV and he influenced me. I got my doctrine from the Bible. He says, listen, if you want an anchor that's going to keep you in place until the pilot boat comes and takes you home, you're going to have Bible doctrine built on Bible truth and Bible facts. You see, oftentimes the Word of God's misquoted, misrepresented, misread, misinterpreted, mismanaged, misapplied, and misprinted. You say, well, preacher, how do I know what the truth is? Read it. Now, here's what we do, folks. I'm not trying to insult anybody. I'm just trying to tell you. What we do is this. Most of us are lazy when it comes to reading. So here's what we want to do. We want somebody to read it for us and tell us what it means. That's what we want to do. We want you to read the book, okay, and then tell me what I'm supposed to believe out of the book so I don't have to study it. Hey, folks, you know what? When I was a junior in junior high and high school and stuff, listen, I was surrounded by a bunch of kids like that. You know what? They wanted me to read the book and tell them what it was so they could take the test without having to read the book. Can I tell you, one day when you face a thrice holy God, you're going to be put to the test on the book and on the doctrine that you held to. See, doctrine is an anchor. It's an anchor. Let me give you a couple things to think about this morning. First of all, what you believe does matter. I'm going to say it again. That went over like a lid. I said, what you believe does matter. Because for some here today, it's going to be the difference between heaven and hell for you. You see, the thing about it is, I'm so sick and tired of people saying, well, preacher, we all believe the same thing. Can I say something to you? If things are different, they cannot be the same. They cannot be. And when I drove up this morning, do you know it still says Baptist on the sign? Now, the thing about it is, what I'm saying is, if your doctrine is different, they cannot be the same. It'd be like me having two different pens up here. I got a blue ink pen and a black ink pen. And I held them up and I said, for most of you, I said, are these the same thing? Most people say, yes, they're both pens. But the thing about it is, outwardly, they appear to be the same. Just like when you drive down Davis here and you see a church over here and a church over here and a church over here, they appear to be the same, right? Most people got a steeple and they got a sign and it says, come join us, you know, and they all look the same. Until I take my blue pen and write down, and the content reveals what it is. And so I write down with my blue ink pen, and then I write down with my black ink pen, and I find out that they actually are different. But how did I find out how they were different? The only way that I found out was the content. It's what the pen was made up of. You know how you find out what a church is? By its doctrine. You see, so what you believe does matter. Hey, let me ask you this. What if one of the captains of the ship had the anchors before he left port with his cargo, said, take all the anchors off? They're like, but we're going to need them. He said, I don't care. I don't believe in them. I don't believe in anchors. But we're a ship. When we get to shore, we got to stop this thing. Somebody said, I don't care. I don't believe in them. Cut them off. Okay. So they cut all the anchors off. So here you've got a tanker, an oil tanker, and he's crossing the sea. He comes into the harbor, and the authority said, okay, go to these coordinates and drop anchor. He said, we don't have any anchors. Now listen, folks, you know what they're going to say? You don't have what? No, we don't have any anchors. We don't believe in them. Okay, bye-bye. Because you can't come here. You see, what you believe does matter. And see, the thing about it is, churches, we've got to understand that it could be the difference between heaven and hell. It could be the difference between success and failure. Listen, it could be the difference between joy and sorrow in your life based on what your doctrine is. It's an anchor. Biblical doctrine holds you in place so that when the world beats on you and they try to question salvation, or they try to question separation, or they try to question your stand for conservative values, you say, No, the anchor's been dropped. I got the anchor. And the anchor says this is the way I'm supposed to live as a believer. Can I remind you that when you drop anchor, it's not going to stop the world from pounding. You see, so it does matter what you believe. Number two, what you believe not only does matter, what you believe does motivate. Do you realize what you believe, you will take what you believe and try to motivate somebody else to believe what you believe? Amen? Yeah, you will. You're trying to motivate somebody else to believe what you believe. You see, what we do is we build our lives around what we believe. Whatever our system of values are, whatever our system of doctrine is, that's how you will build your life around. And you will build your life around the doctrine that you believe, and then that doctrine that you believe, you will use that to motivate other people. You say, like who? Like your family? Amen. Yeah, you see, daddies, God put you the head of the home. And it's your responsibility to make sure that that home has the right doctrine. That the right authorities are there. And it's not Junior at 3 years old calling the shots. Amen. You see, there has to be a doctrine. There has to be a system of belief. And you build your life around what you believe. You raise your family around what you believe. Listen, many of you in here, You operate your business and ethics around what you believe. Amen. Hey, yeah, every businessman in here, he's got doctrine. He's got a form of ethics that he uses to operate his business. He's either going to be honest or dishonest based on his doctrine. You see, listen to me now. You treat people based on what you believe. You treat people how or based on what you believe. And so your belief does matter. It does motivate. Hey, listen to me. Number three, what you believe does multiply. It does multiply. Listen very carefully. You will share your beliefs with others. You will. I was listening to the radio the other day. They were talking about this guy committed a crime. I think he had actually murdered somebody. Now listen. So many days went by, and he went around and told somebody that he did it. You see, the thing about it is, what you believe, you're not going to be able to keep your mouth shut. You will tell somebody. And what you'll be doing is you're going to try to motivate somebody to believe what you believe. So your belief system does matter, it does motivate, and it will multiply. You'll share your beliefs with others. Listen, you will live your beliefs before others. You'll live what you believe. And by the way, you've heard me say this before, and I'll say it again. You know what? Basically, most Christians, they only live the part of the Bible they believe. They only practice a part of the Bible they believe, and then the part that says, man, I don't think I want to do that. Folks, let me tell you something. The best I can tell, the Bible, God didn't write it for it to be a buffet. It's a main course meal. God didn't say, well, just take what you want, leave the rest. No, he said, here it is. This is what it is. It's like my mama years ago, and there were certain vegetables I didn't like. Now, I've come to like them now. But broccoli was one of those things I didn't like. Didn't we have a president get in trouble over this because he didn't like broccoli? Anyway, I think we did. So, I'm not, you broccoli growers that are watching this, I'm just telling you using illustration, okay? I like broccoli now. But she'd put that stuff in front of me. And I didn't care for it. And she said, but that's it. That's all you're getting. Well, can we add some cheese to it? Can we do something to tidy this up? And so she'd do some different things. But listen to me. The thing about it is, when my mama put broccoli before me, there were no alternatives. This is your meal. And God didn't say, here's the Bible, take what you want, leave the rest. If you don't want to believe in something, don't believe in it. Just take what you want, leave the rest. Folks, I'm sorry. God doesn't operate that way, and I think I can prove that from the Bible. Did you not see here where it said that he was immutable? The Lord says, listen, I am the Lord, I change not, Malachi 3:6. Doesn't change. So the anchor of Bible doctrine, it does matter what you believe. What you believe does motivate, and what you believe does multiply. Let me give you a quick second anchor. Turn, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 11. Turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews 11. Look at this. Verse 1. Now, here's the second anchor. What's your Bible say right there? Now what? Now faith. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. He says, for by it, that's faith, the elders obtained what kind of report? Good report. What kind of report you think a ship's going to get out in the harbor if the pilot boat goes out there and he's not where he's supposed to be? Not going to get a good report, is he? Through faith, the scripture says, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen are not made of things which do appear. Look at verse number 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. Now, folks, it doesn't take a lot to figure out that there's something about Bible doctrine. The scripture is very plain that all scripture is given by inspiration and is profitable for doctrine. It's an anchor. It holds us in place. Listen, you secure in Bible doctrine, you will stay in place. I don't care who comes knocks your door. I don't care what the people on your job say. I don't care who you meet at the grocery store. If the anchor of Bible doctrine is strong and you got it from the Word of God, it's going to hold you in place till the pilot boat comes and it's time to empty your cargo. The second thing is faith. It's faith. Faith is the active ingredient that propels our beliefs. Now, can you imagine this? Can you imagine here we are, these big old tankers, these big old cargo ships out there. Can you imagine what a ship would be like without a propeller? Now listen, they can get out there and somebody dove down and unscrewed the propeller and took the propellers off and they raise anchor. No, they were in place, right? They had Bible doctrine. But faith without works is, so they raise the anchors. All right, let's go home. Guy goes, and they don't go anywhere. He says, something's wrong here, Captain. Well, give it full throttle. And he throws the hammer down on the thing. We're not going here. What's the problem? I don't know. Hey, is all the anchors up? Yeah, we've already, boss, we already got them all up. They're all up. We got problems then. So they send somebody and dive down and they come back up and say, boy, Captain, do we have a problem? We ain't got no propellers. We don't have anything to put us in motion. Now listen to me. You can have the right doctrine. And you can have that anchor of doctrine. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Because faith is what propels what you believe. Faith is what puts into action what you believe. You see, these ships can't accomplish their purpose. Listen, they can't go forward. They have no ability to reach their destination. They have no purpose. And they become, listen, without a propeller, they leave themselves at the mercy of the sea. The sea is going to take them out because they can't get back. They have no way to thrust forward. You see, faith is designed to be a lifestyle. Galatians chapter 3, verse number 11, the just shall live by what? Faith. All right? So faith is designed to be a way of life, not something that we pull out when we need some kind of miracle. It's a lifestyle. It's a way of life. This is how we're supposed to live. Oh, by the way, we see this practice in the lives of kids at times. You ever notice, mamas and daddies, how real obedient and compliant your children get around birthday? You ever found out how compliant your kids kind of get around Christmas time? Now listen to me. This is important. You know why, to a degree, that their attitude changed, all of a sudden they become a compliant child? Because they know birthday presents are coming up. They know Christmas is coming up. And boy, if I'm real good and I act right and stuff, that might just generate an extra reward for me. Now, you see, kids get real compliant, get real obedient around birthdays and Christmas. Listen carefully. Because the power of their future reward motivates their behavior in the present. Are you with me? Now listen to me. I'm going somewhere. Just hang on. If you're a Christian this morning, the power of your future reward ought to motivate your behavior in the present. Are you with me? You see, the thing about it is we ought to live in the present as though those rewards have already been given to me. And those kids at their birthday or the present, hey, listen, at Christmas time, they go and they look under the Christmas tree, see how many, there's one, two, three presents. Hey, listen, if you've got kids, there's not a kid of yours that didn't know how many gifts he had. They've already counted them, picked them up, shaken them, and probably already figured out what they were. Now, I know none of y'all had kids like that, but I did. Now, listen to me. Faith is assurance of God's promises. Listen, faith is living my life today through the power of my future inheritance as a believer. That's how I'm supposed to be living. You see, faith is total dependence upon God's divine abilities and character. Listen, this is not dependent upon me. This is dependent upon Him. So doctrine is an anchor that will hold me in place until the pilot boat comes to get me and takes me in to empty my cargo. Faith is the propeller that propels our beliefs. Well, let me give you one more. And that is, find it real quick. James chapter 4. Let me give you this right quick. James 4 and verse 8. I said the anchor of Bible doctrine, the anchor of faith. And I want you to look at this real quick. James 4, verse number 8. Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Did you notice in the beginning of that verse he said, draw nigh to God? And doesn't it make sense if I get closer to him, then just by the aspect of me going toward him, he becomes closer to me? You see, the anchor of Bible doctrine will hold you in place. It'll keep you. And it does matter what you believe. And what you believe does motivate. It will multiply. But the anchor of faith, it's operating in the power of the of future reward, allowing it to affect my behavior in the present. And then the third anchor that's going to hold you in place is the anchor of relationship. The anchor of relationship. You see, it all starts by the ultimate relationship, and it begins with sonship. It begins with a born-again experience with Jesus Christ. If you've never been born into the family of God, you have no relationship with the Father. You have none. You say, but I want one. Then you got to come get born again. Because, listen, relationship starts with sonship. Salvation brings you into relationship with the Father. Can I remind you also that relationship not only begins with sonship, but it's developed by fellowship. It's developed by fellowship. That's the reason you need to be in church as much as you possibly can. That's the reason you need to be in Sunday school. That's the reason you need to be in Bible studies. That's the reason you need to learn the Word of God. Why? Because it's going to be an anchor that's going to hold you in place. So when the pilot ship comes and the archangel shouts and the trumpet sounds and it's time for you to go unload your cargo, he can find you right where you're supposed to be, in the will of God. You see, the anchor of relationship, it begins with sonship. It's developed by fellowship. Fellowship with the Father. Fellowship with the Son. Fellowship with the Holy Ghost. Hey, listen, how about fellowship with the saints of God? Listen, folks, I don't know about you. I've been saved now, working on 30 years. And you know what? I certainly enjoy being around the saints of God more than I do sinners. Sinners lost without God, and people who don't like to be around the saints of God may not be in the family of God. You see, relationship begins with sonship. It's developed by fellowship. And then let me continue and finish up and say this. Relationship is enjoyed by fellowship. Relationship is developed by fellowship. Its relationship is enjoyed by fellowship. Just obeying. You know, I wasn't always the most compliant child, but I did like to please my parents. I did. Now, I didn't always show it, but I did like to please them. I liked to hear them say, you did a good job. So that was a motivating factor to me. And as a child of God, listen, our relationship by following the Lord, it provides an anchor. You say, what do we do? Let me give you just a couple of tips of advice. Number one, love what God loves. You know what God loves? Souls. You know what God loves? Listen now, do you know God loves the church? And He gave Himself for it. That's how much He loves it. If He loves it that much, guess what? We ought to love it that much. Love what God loves. Live how God teaches us to live. Now, let me wrap this up and say this. I gave you these three anchors here today because so many go through life and just drift. They're just kind of rolling with the tide. Just wherever the tide takes them, that's where they're to go. And you know what that'll do? That'll cause you to drift off of course and out of the will of God. The anchor of Bible doctrine will hold you in place. The anchor of faith will hold you in place. The anchor of relationship and a walk with God is going to hold you in place. You see, Bible doctrine, the anchors are basically this. Bible doctrine is what you believe. Faith is how you live. And relationship is who you're with. Think about those three. What you believe, how you live, who you're with. And all three of those aspects will determine where you are today. If you just got one anchor, can you imagine a boat dropping one anchor and then throwing the throttle down and things just spin around and around? You see, we need more than one. Bible doctrine. Faith is what propels it. Relationship is what seals it. That's what seals it. It seals it all. And a walk with God. Why? Because He'll never leave you nor forsake you. You know, I looked at those big old ships. They all had a cargo. And so do you. And one of these days, if the trumpet doesn't sound, the archangel shouts, death's going to come and that's going to be your pilot boat. And He's going to come out And he's going to find you, hopefully, where you're supposed to be, in the will of God. And when he finds you, he's going to take you back so that you can dump the cargo that you have, the most precious cargo in the world, and that is your soul. Would you bow your heads with me for a moment? How many could say, "Preacher, I'm a believer, I'm a Christian, and I'm proud of it"? I want you to slip your hand way up high and say, "That's me. I'm not ashamed of it. I'm a child of God. If I died today, preacher, going to heaven, no question about it." All right, wonderful. You can put your hands down. The Father, my simple prayer this morning is, I'm going to guess probably 95% or more of the people raised their hand and said they were a believer. And Father, the only way that we can be a believer is if we have the right doctrine, that we've trusted Jesus by grace, through faith, in Christ, plus nothing, minus nothing, Him and Him alone. And I pray, Lord God, if there might be some here this morning that have never gotten into the family of God, into a relationship with the Father through sonship and through the shed blood of Christ, that today would be that day. Father, one of these days, you're going to send the pilot boat, and it's going to come out, whether it be in the coming of Christ or whether it be in death, and they're going to come for us. Will they find us where we're supposed to be? If we're not saved this morning, Lord God, if there are some here that know not Christ, you want them to be saved. Oh, I pray, Lord, that they just admit who they are and what they are and realize that they need Jesus and that He died for them, rose again the third day, and now sits at the right hand of God interceding on their behalf if they'll just trust Him. Some, Lord, just need restoration. Some may have pulled up the anchor of doctrine or faith or relationship. Some may have drifted away from their walk with God, and the current of the world has taken them back into some worldly actions or vices or habits that have really hindered them in their walk with God. If that be the case, Father, would you draw them back into the safe harbor of the arms of Jesus this morning? And then, Father, if there might be some here today that need a place to serve God, a church home, whatever the case may be, would you have your way now in this invitation? Now, with heads bowed, eyes closed, no one's looking, I wonder if there might be one or two here today that would at least let me pray for you and say, "Preacher, I cannot honestly say that I'm saved. I don't ever remember having a born-again experience with Jesus Christ. It's not that I don't want to be saved, preacher. It's just that I have some doubt about it. And if the pilot boat of death came, or if the trumpet sounded and the Lord came back, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven. Preacher, I want to go. Please pray for me. I have some doubt about that." Listen, nobody's looking but me. Would you at least let me pray for you? Why don't you slip your hand way up high and you say, "Preacher, that's me. God bless you." You can put your hand down. And you, God bless you. Just slip it up and say, "Preacher, that's me. I don't know for sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. Please pray for me. I need Jesus." All right? Maybe you're here this morning and you say, "Preacher, I've already been saved, but I've never been baptized. Please pray for me. I know it's the right thing to do. Would you please pray for me that I may obey God in that area?" I want you to slip your hand way up high and say, "That's me. I've already been saved, but never been baptized." God bless you. God bless you. You can put your hands down. Who will join these three and say, "Preacher, that's me"? Anybody else? Anybody else? Let me pray for you. It's the right thing to do. All right. Then lastly, let me ask you this. I wonder how many would say, "Preacher, I'm a Christian, but my life, I've kind of pulled anchor, and I've kind of allowed my life to kind of drift away from shore. I've kind of drifted back out to sea in some areas. Maybe there's a vice that's got a hold of you. Maybe there's some bad habits that've got a hold of you. Maybe some bad friends. You've started circulating yourself around with bad friends and people again. And you say, "Preacher, I'm a Christian, but I've kind of drifted back out to sea into the world. Would you pray for me?" I want you to slip your hand up and say, "Preacher, that's me. Pray for me. Pray for me." Just slip it up. Slip it up. Slip it up. Slip it up. All right. God bless you. God bless you. You can put your hands down. The Father, my prayer is this morning, that you'd meet the needs of these people. Some need to be saved. Some need to be baptized. Some, Lord, that are Christians that have drifted away from the will of God and have drifted away, and maybe vices or situations in life or adversities, Lord, have really captured their heart and their spirit. And my prayer is, please, that you'd draw them back to a working relationship with you. That, Lord, if they'll draw nigh to you, you promise you'd draw nigh to them. And so I ask you this morning to do your work, whatever that need is. Maybe there are some here that are seeking a church home. And I pray that if you've laid upon their heart for them to be a part of this church, that, Father, that they would come and be a part. And we'd love to have them come and serve here, the Lord, with us, Lord, so that we can reach our city and surrounding areas for Jesus Christ. Whatever the need may be, we turn this invitation over to you in Jesus' wonderful name. Now, with heads bowed, eyes closed, let's stand together. I'm going to ask Brother Shaddix to begin to sing. And as he begins to sing, listen, if I didn't preach on anything that what God is dealing with you in your heart, this is your opportunity. You come. You come. Make the altar a place that's comfortable to you. Make it a habit to come and lay your all on the altar. Whatever your need is, maybe you just have somebody that you need to pray for. You come. If you slipped your hand up and said, preacher, I need to be saved, would you come? If you're a lady, we'll have a lady show you how to be saved. If you're a man, we'll take a man, have a man show you how to be born again. You come. You come. This is your opportunity. Come on. Come on. If you need to be baptized, you come. We'll show you what to do. Hey, we're for you. What we're trying to do is we're trying to give you some anchors to hold on to. Say, preacher, I'm not sure exactly what my belief system is. I don't know much about the Bible, and I haven't been much involved in church. Well, then you come and join with us, and we'll help and teach you the Bible. But you've got to have the anchor of Bible doctrine. You've got to know what you believe based on biblical truth. That way it'll keep you from drifting away. I'm not talking about any influence from the outside. No denominational influence. No personal influence. How about Jesus' influence? Let Jesus influence your life. You come on. You come on. We'll wait on you. We'll wait on you. This is your opportunity. Listen to me. The pilot ship's coming.